Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Mac, everything that's gone on, all the Apple news that's hit the fan, and we're going to stay clear of the Trump thing, not doing that. Don't do politics. No, sirree. Might make some jokes about small hands, however. Next, starting us off then, top left, it's dark. Bright and early, bloke from Hawaii makes it, bloke from Germany can't.
It is extremely early. Good. Strangely enough, we have a cold front that's been going on for about a week and a half now. And by cold front for us, I mean 60 degrees or what is that? Roughly about 18.
So just to be clear on the weather, normally in Hawaii, a cold front means someone's put their boobs inside a fridge.
Yeah. Basically. It's a Broadway at Costco. I mean, not Broadway.
The weather's not bad Costco. There, is it?
Huh?
The weather's not bad there.
No, normally not. But it's super strange that it's been cold lately. And you see people in Hawaii running around with sweaters on. And the Canadian tourists or the tourists from the mainland, they just look at us like, what? What the heck are you guys doing? It's like, oh, we're freezing. And they're like in shorts and like having a good old time. It's pretty
hilarious. Did you have to get a parcel drop from UNICEF or something for jumpers because you hadn't got any?
Luckily, there's certain stores that ship the same kit to every store no matter where it's located. And then so Target and Costco happen to be two of those. So they'll send like Patagonia jackets and whatnot to Hawaii, which I never understood. But people buy them because there is snowboarding on the Big Island.
Okay.
There is snow on the Big Island. It has
in a warehouse.
No, outside. Mauna Kea. Mauna Kea Slide Company. It actually, that island has every weather possibility in the world on one rock. It's kind of an international phenomenon for that. You have desert, rainforest, snow, I forgot the other one, tropical climate, and like arid, whatever, all in one spot. It's pretty crazy. Look it up. It'll blow your mind.
Right. Next to him, Adam from the Broom Cupboard. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Yeah, great. What's been happening, man?
Nothing. Same old.
Work.
What?
Just work. You haven't managed to talk the Echo back into the house yet?
No. Sitting up on the shelf over here. I got to plug it in my office.
Oh, I plugged it because I had one left over that I brought to the office, and I've put it in. I put it in Jake's room today, and he's been blown away by it, haven't you, mate?
Yeah.
He thinks the fact that he can actually ask the weight of the sun in grams has blown his little mind, and get Public Enemy on there as well.
Yeah, not to mention, the government knows everything you're doing.
Oh, give over. Is that really a tin hat? Because it looks like it's made of canvas, mate.
I'm teasing.
And the one it's person lying. Who we need to get a caricature done for, Steve Sandy, it's going to look remarkably like Jeff Gamet's caricature, because that was the only time Jeff Gamet ever sent me a picture of him wearing a cap.
Hey!
Steve Sandy, where you been, mate? We haven't seen you for ages.
Oh, well, I tell you, it was like every time you invited me, I was gone or had something going on for about a month.
Yeah.
The spouse and I were on a long cruise from Rio to Miami and went up the Amazon River and everything. And, I would have joined you, but they had the worst possible satellite internet I've ever seen on a ship. In fact, when we got back to Miami, they actually were changing the satellite dish out. So it was bad. You wouldn't have, it would have been stick figures and, the occasional word coming through.
I wasn't taking it personally.
Steve, when you're in the Amazon, did you happen to run into any candido fish?
No, thank God. That would have been bad.
Do they like your arm or something?
No, the candido fish are the one that swim up your arm.
Your pipe.
Yeah.
But they only run up your pipe when you're having a wee, don't they?
Yeah, you're all right as long as you don't pee. Amazon. Not the Bezos Amazon, but the Brazilian one. And then they climb right up in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did do fishing for the good old, whatever the hell you call this, piranhas. And that was fun.
You can fish for those with your trouser snake as well, mate. And they bite pretty well.
No, we were doing it with string and a little piece of meat. And
that's what I was talking about, the trouser snake.
Same thing.
you're bad.
The Weekend Apple. Been good. What's been on? What's been going on? Yeah. Do you remember this bloke? The bloke on the right, Justin Long. I'm a yes. Mac. I'm a PC. Well, apparently he was lying. He was never a Mac. He was a Huawei. Justin, you bastard. Justin Long has signed to do the Huawei ads for the new 9 something, isn't it? I can't remember the name of it. It's the Mate 9, that's it. There you go.
I don't know. I haven't watched them yet. I've just heard they're kind of bad.
They're not that funny. Justin Long's not that funny. He's looking a lot older. He's not as hip as he used to be. He's dressed up to try and the premises on the one advert I saw is he's having an interview with the phone to try and get the job, and the phone is just showing emojis. Like the biggest selling feature of the Mate 9 is that it can do emojis, which isn't going to work. So he sold his soul. He was not a Mac. He was a Huawei all along in Mac's skin. He was a clone.
He's a working actor.
I'm a joke. It's a joke. But I get enough hate, and I don't even dislike anyone. You haven't seen me double time in Apple with Windows. Oh no! But right. No, I still get the hate mail.
It's just funny how I know that you don't have a problem with it, but it's funny how our community reacts to stuff like this. Like it becomes a story.
Has he had death threats? I bet he's had death threats on Twitter, hasn't he?
Probably, right?
I wouldn't doubt it. You know, the funny thing, even the fact that they're bad, if you watched any of his movies, he is not a bad actor.
No, he's good.
He's actually a pretty good actor. He's been in a lot of great movies. So what that tells you is that the ad agency tried to bandwagon on something without thinking it all the way through. And that seems to be a common trend among various ad agencies. I see tons of advertisements come out. And Microsoft recently caught a lot of flack for it. Because yeah, even in all of my Apple love, Surface is not really a bad piece of kit, but some of the ads that they ran around Christmas trying to tell people like what it can do that a MacBook can't do or what it can do that an iPad can't do didn't really make sense, because in every commercial what they would end up showing you is that the Surface technically has an identity crisis, which is true. It's not quite either. You know what I mean? Like there's certain things that is missing from the MacBook, and whatever was missing from the MacBook, they would use that to attack the iPad.
You know what the big problem with all of those ads were?
And whatever was missing from the iPad, they used it to attack the MacBook.
Do you know what the big problem with all of those ads were? Is that they used the word Mac in them. They couldn't just say, this is how great this is. They all had to say, you couldn't do that on a Mac. You couldn't do that. And the worst one was the tour guide who had perfect nails, who said, and I couldn't do that on my Mac. So as in, I clearly own a Mac because a Mac has really done this for years for me. It was horrific advertising. Whoever came up with that campaign wants to slap. But Americans don't do it well. You guys always want to slag off the competition, and it's the worst thing you can do because it just sells the competition.
Yep.
So
I always thought that was dumb.
I want Doc to tell us which Alvin in the Chipmunks movie he was doing that amazing acting in.
He wasn't in those. That was what's his name, isn't it?
All of the sequels.
Jason Lee.
Ewan.
Jason who?
Jason Lee.
Yeah, I guess
Jason
you missed, Lee, right. I guess you missed the Squeak Wool, Shipwrecked, and the Road Chip.
I got a kid who's 13, so I had to watch the first one of those pieces of shit, and I've got a daughter who's 7, so I've watched the last one. I have sat through more Alvin and the Chipmunks crap than I care to imagine. At least when I was a kid, it was Pinky and Perky, and they were half decent.
I haven't even seen any of them, but I was with you, Doc. I was like, he's been good in something, right? So I pulled him up on IMDb, and I'm not finding the movie where...
What I was going to say he's a good actor.
Alvin and the Chipmunk doesn't count, but if you look at Live Free or Die Hard, he was in Live Free or Die Hard, you know.
That was not a good movie. When you said he's a good actor, I was going to say, yeah, who's been in bad movies? Because that was the throwaway line I was going to come up with. And I thought about it more and more and more as you've been talking. And he is. He's a decent actor, but he just picks shit movies. He gets offered shit movies. He should have been Jobs.
You know what happens, right? People get
a really nice
typecast, right? So even in Live Free or Die Hard, he was basically kind of sort of a similar concept to what he was in the Mac and the PC, you know, thing like too cool for him own self kind of thing. And I don't know. I guess you're right, but Live Free or Die Hard gets like 7.5. So that's not considered a bad movie in our.
I have the movie. I have the movie that he was great in, Galaxy Quest.
What?
Oh.
Oh.
Love Galaxy Quest.
I offer up a Galaxy Quest, and then I will end betting there. Anyone want to call Galaxy Quest?
Stop there.
Yep. You fold it?
Yep.
I win.
You picked this very first movie.
I picked the only movie that Justin Long's done that's any bloody good apart from the Mac versus PC efforts, and he wasn't even a Mac. Moving on.
What about Herbie Fully Loaded?
Guys, I just wanted to say he's a bastard, and then we wanted to move on. That's 10 minutes of the show gone there talking about Justin Long movies, and they're all shit. God, what would it have been like if he'd have made a decent one? Christ.
Doc started it.
Yes.
Here's a story for Doc. Apple revenue, boom. Q1 2017, $17.9 billion, a profit of $78.4 billion on revenue, 78.3 million iPhones, and $246 billion in some sump somewhere in the world with no one getting access to it.
My retirement plan says thank you.
How many have you got? Some Apple shares then?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to see you through to your end of your days?
No, but it helps. I'm diversified. I'm not.
I didn't
not
put all
sinking
my
all my money in Apple.
I didn't put all
fun,
my apples
it's
in
fun to have
basket.
A little in there and watch it go up.
Mac net sales has wobbled along for a little while now, as you can see there on that graph at the bottom. iPod sales on the decline. There's a surprise. Services has made some good money, and iPhone net sales has gone up pretty markedly. I mean, there was rumors about. iPad sales being iPhone sales being pretty horrific, and they seem to have turned out okay. The iPhone 7 Plus is the most popular Plus brand they've ever made, in quotes, but I mean, that's not bad. I think they've got a real problem, though, because they got so much money that's just sat in banks overseas that they can't do anything with. And surely they're going to be getting some shit off Trump saying, you've got to bring that back. You've got to give us some of that in the rev chamber.
Yeah, there has been for quite a while, kind of discussions about doing that repatriation of the money.
Hang on. It's all horribly wrong.
And apparently there is, and they made the comment during the phone call the other day, the earnings call, that there was a good possibility that they were going to have support on both sides of the aisle to do some sort of tax holiday. It'd probably be a lower rate, not just bring it back. So it'll be interesting to see if they can do that, because that's a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, that's even if they gave them a sort of a 20% tax holiday or a 15% tax holiday, that's a lot of revenue for the U.S.
Yes, it is.
I think at 15%, they'd probably do it.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, the smart way for it to work is bring jobs back into the U.S. and we'll give you 20%. You know, we'll give you a lower rate on it all. But the proviso is you can get 10%, you can get 12%, but you've got to bring X thousand jobs for each percent that we take off the standard rates or something.
The hard part of that, you know, having worked in tech, and especially working in a place like has limited tech people. Right. So Hawaii has a huge brain drain. These kids grow up here extremely tech oriented. A lot of that has to do with sort of isolation from other things, not as many things to get into because of either our climate or just lack of resources, whatever. So typical of places where you're sort of landlocked, if you will, you have a tendency to get some really good tech people. But what happens is they graduate and they go to the mainland, or they went to the mainland in college and they never come back. So we have a situation where we have limited resources for talented tech people, and U.S. already has that in general. So even if they could bring all these jobs back, there's really nobody to fill them unless you're willing to take a hit on what it is that they do, or take the time to spend years to train them. And that's always been a problem, because during my generation and the generation directly after me, parents were all about, you were still on that American dream. You're allowed to be one of four occupations, you know, doctor, lawyer, accountant, or engineer, but not like technical engineer, you know, like civil engineer or something of that nature. And also military was highly touted at the time. So we spent so much time not allowing people to easy access to tech degrees or learning how to program or learning engineering, whatever, is we have a massive brain drain in this country when it comes to that. And during the 80s, when all the other countries were working on their infrastructure and their tech and they're booming, we just didn't do it. We were too busy being cocky. And now we even have the same problem with infrastructure people. We don't even have civil engineers right now because nobody was doing it during the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s in schools. We had schools that didn't start teaching tech degrees until, you know, we were in the 2010s. So we're screwed even if they come back. Like, I don't know. I mean, Steve, you're in the business too, and you teach at a university from time to time. What's your take on that?
Being also that my background originally was in civil engineering, and I got really bored with it pretty quickly. But you've got a big point there. There just hasn't been the thrill about, you know, going into engineering. I think for a lot of people, the young folks want to get into something that they think is going to make a lot of money very quickly, and you know, nobody's told them that life isn't that way. But I don't know, you still see it. I've like you said, I do some work over at one of the local colleges here, and it's sad how few people, even with the just desperate need for engineers, how many people just refuse to go into that area. I don't know if they think it's too hard or they haven't money. Had the
money.
But there's a lot of money in tech. That's the only industry in the U.S. that's making money hand over fist year after year after year after year after year. Absolutely. I mean, if you're in the Bay and you graduate, you can graduate, go straight to 150 plus in a lot of categories, especially if you're a programmer.
Yeah.
But you know what, the coolness factor and the nerd factor and the nerd kids getting beat up factor kind of didn't go away till about 5 years ago. Now it's a little bit too late. After the really big Facebook boom and the MySpace boom and stuff like that, then kids started going, oh, you mean I can play video games all day and still make a mint? Holy crap, there's something to this. But then they don't get the support from their parents or get the support from the schools. So I was of age, I was probably about 25 when I realized that tech had possibilities to make money, but literally we wrote our own degrees for University of Hawaii.
Oh, that's how you got like yours.
Excuse me?
That's how you got yours.
Yeah, when I meant wrote my own degrees was not like zero copy it. I meant we built classes and went and found our teachers and found approved accreditations and took all of that Microsoft and CCNA and all that other crazy crap that basically fizzled out to nothing. But yeah, we literally had to build our program. And so we were like the first, my group were like the first 16 people to graduate from the University of Hawaii with like a full-on IT degree. Like it didn't exist. And I technically graduated in 2005.
Yeah.
At age 35. Like it took me 10 years to go to college because I had to generate classes and find my own teachers.
Go ahead, Adam, you can say.
I just wanted to comment. I mean, as far as Apple creating jobs in the U.S. or any, you know, well, specifically in the U.S., people forget that if Apple's going to make jobs in the U.S., they're not going to be manufacturing jobs because Apple doesn't manufacture anything. Like, they don't do the manufacturing. It would be their partners. So it could be jobs related to Apple's partners, but they don't have factories, they don't have assembly plants, they don't have
Mac Pro's facilities. Assembled, isn't it? There's a B assembly.
Yeah, in Austin, Texas, yeah. I think.
Right, but I mean, that's not really what they're going to do. They're not going to start opening up their own manufacturing companies. If they're going to create jobs, they're going to create other jobs. And it's also currently, you know, 2/3 of Apple's workforce is in the U.S. So if you look at the jobs that are directly employed by Apple, it's 2/3 of their workforce.
Yeah.
As of 2015. I don't have a more recent report than that, but as of 2015, something like 76,000 people work directly for Apple in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I mean, not to like throw a wrench in the thing, but just a question for you and to compare and contrast, mostly for my own edification. I in my brain, I guess from watching Peaky Blinders, Birmingham used to be a pretty handy, like a manufacturing town. Is that still true to this day?
No, Christ. The jewelry quarter is still going, but the gun quarter, and the gun quarter is still going. Some of the, but you're talking about manufacturing of guns that will cost you £100,000 each or something like that. You know,
no, I'm just manufacturing in general. Yeah, I just assume that because of steel, right?
No, I mean, that would be wrong for me to say there's no manufacturing. I mean, Brooks Saddles, for example. I wanted a Brooks Saddle for me bike. And
I have one.
I didn't know which one to buy. So I rang at Brooks and said, can I come and get one from you? And they said, no, you can't buy it from us, but you're welcome to come down and we'll fit it with you. So okay. And so I walked in and this lovely guy, Mr. Green, says, okay, I reckon you need this one just by looking at me. And then he showed me this saddle and I sat on it and he was like, yeah, that's going to work for you because that's perfectly on your popular what's it bones thing on your backside. And I went on Amazon and bought it on the before I got back to the car. And it's a beautiful saddle. It's an absolutely gorgeous saddle. So Brooks manufactured, all the saddles are manufactured in Birmingham still. So there is lots of manufacturers in Birmingham who do very, very well, but it's the high-end stuff, the really properly well-finished. Like I said, there's gun makers who are still making guns, but they're hand-engraved, and they're £100,000 a piece. You know, there's no mass manufacturing, I don't think, in Birmingham particularly.
I got a stupid question. I think mine says Hockley, something Hockley, like that. What is that? Right.
Hockley's the area of Birmingham where it's made.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Well, I have a Brooks Saddle. They're a bum. It was freaking expensive, but it's comfortable.
Do you want to see a cool picture, Doc?
Certainly.
There we go. Hang on.
I mean, the other point I would point out about manufacturing, including the Mac Pro plant in Austin. Is it in Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that stuff, if they do it in the U.S., is going to be also highly automated. So it'll generate jobs during construction and building out the facilities and all that stuff. But a lot of those are sort of transient jobs. You know, they last until the building's done. And then the actual people working at the plants. And I'm not trying to be negative about it. I'm just trying to tell you the reality is, you know, how it has to be done here if they're going to do it is you're talking about mostly robots and machines and the actual, like, day-to-day jobs. I don't think end up being that many people employed. That's just sort of the reality of how it would get done here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if anybody was going to, you know, tell the kids of now what to get into, it'd be robot maintenance. Right. Make sure that you know how to maintain those darn things, because
that's actually pretty smart.
Well, yeah, I think there's actually
at that vocational level for sure. Yeah,
I think that's a bit of a problem because there was a lot of tech money released here in the US, in the UK for kids programs at school to do better with IT, but they do better with IT, and I had a right old whinge at the school. They taught Ellis nothing about coding. They didn't even teach him the principle of building the steps of programs and sequencing and that kind of stuff. I said, what's he doing over the next 5 years? We're teaching him how to use Excel. And you're kidding me. And now, the last time I went, so he's done 3 years at that school, and this third year I've gone back to his parents' even. I said, I'm still really disappointed. She said, well, the syllabus has changed. We're actually teaching them coding. And Ellis has been, because he's of attendance, Ellis has been awarded like a Raspberry Pi thing, and they're going to show him how to code on it. I was like, yes, I'm over the moon. Well done. Thank you very much. Finally.
Exactly.
But I think there's a massive gap where the people thought that IT was improving your skills with software rather than learning the core of values of how computers work, how they program them. I was teaching Ellis. I said, look, you know, this is how I was using Redstone in Minecraft. You know, here we go. AND/OR gates, ones and zeros. This is how it all works together. And if you do this, this, and this, then and I was teaching him in binary how to get stuff. And I'm not the greatest coder, but at least I got him started with the idea of sequencing and ons and offs and that kind of stuff. And that's what kids don't have. They pick it up and it just works. They don't understand how it works. So here you go, Doc. Picture for you.
And just for final clarification, because I had forgotten about this, and as I've been sitting here researching it. The Mac Pro plant is actually run through a partnership with Flextronics. So again, I don't think it's directly an Apple. Yes, they're making machines for Apple, but it's not.
It's U.S. jobs. So
yes, it is U.S. jobs. Yeah, related to Apple. But
and
again,
I think Apple got a payment holiday for that because that was done under Obama administration, wasn't it? There you go, Doc. There's about $5,000 worth of Brooks saddles there.
That's crazy, boss.
And that's this one. I looked at it and I said, those are like the sprung seats that you used to get. And the guy said, yeah, yeah. And I said, how many of those do you make? He said, we make loads of them. I said, who the hell rides around on a sprung seat bike? He said, butchers. I said, but there's no butchers that ride around on bikes. He went, there are in Germany. And that's the whole, that's the German market right there. So I've actually got another picture, but it's not on my computer. I can't find it. And it's basically
in,
all
in
the
San Francisco, the Brooks saddle is a rite of passage if you're a hipster, you know, bicyclist.
All right, if you want one, just let me know and I'll send it over, mate, if it's cheaper. But I'm sure it's cheaper on Amazon for you than it is for me. Apple's doing pretty well, though, so there we go.
Yeah.
Bad. 10.3 is getting rid of 32-bit applications. If you've got a 32-bit legacy application that still runs pretty well on your phone, after the 10.3 update, it won't. I'm in two minds about this one. There's a bit of me like, well, yeah, come on, you know, progress, move on. But there are a few apps that I've got. I've got a pool game that I love playing, and that's 32-bit, and that's going to go. And there's no reason it can't run. That's the only bit that, but there's a bit of me like, yeah, okay, move on. Good, bad, indifferent?
I prefer that they move everything to the proper architecture just because it seems like you're asking for less trouble with the phone with crashings or loopholes that might cause some sort of security issue or whatever. So, like, I feel bad for the guys that, you know, did this thing by themselves when they had time. But, you know, success and life may have gotten them kids or something else, and they can't really program the way they used to. So their app is just sitting there getting long in the tooth. I feel bad for those guys. But when I see big companies that still have old, outdated, crappy apps, United Airlines, Hawaiian Airlines, whatever, it just pisses me off. Like, yeah. I email my friends at Hawaiian literally almost every time I fly, because a lot of those guys used to work with me at Apple. And be like, really, dudes, why are we still on this, like, you know, 32-bit HTML wrapper instead of coding a fully normalized app when you're one of the largest companies in the state of Hawaii? Let's get with it. So I'm with you.
What's the process? But
is Icon Factory going to update Ramp Champ for me? I still like playing that game.
This guy.
You can only hope.
I don't think they are. Probably
we got some people you can call that we know. So just ask
them. But you know what I mean? Like, I mean, that game still runs. So what's the problem? You know?
Because it's a game, though. If your phone is not moving forward because of games, that would suck. You know? The phone is moving forward.
But the phone has the game guys forward. Can I fix mean, it. They can run it in a... I'm sure they can run it in some sort of... I don't know. It seems heavy-handed. I mean, developers have not been able to submit 32-bit apps for a couple years now, I think. Like, they cut off that thing. Like, if you have a new app, you cannot put a 32-bit app in. So this really
only
impacts old stuff.
You would rather see a natural decline. You would rather see a natural decline, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, why not? I guess I don't see the harm. I mean, is there really a security problem here?
I just get tired of seeing those little error messages that come up that say, this app may be
slowing down your
it'll
phone.
Make your phone run slower. I've seen that with several old apps or legacy apps that have been around for a long time and haven't been updated. And I'm just tired
shame,
of it.
The know, shame so. Message. That was to shame developers into updating their apps.
And I'm sitting there going, it can't be. It's only using half the gerbils that are inside.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear some?
I get it. I get progress. I get things that have to move on. But there are some things, like UN's pointing out, that I think are going to break for a lot of people. The question becomes, and we were having this conversation, are there really, like, important apps that people use that are productivity apps or something like that that are still out there that haven't been updated? And I'd be curious to know from this audience, and I'll probably ask my own audience too, is there any app that's really going to have a significant impact? That's not a game. As far as I know, in my life, I think it's only games that are an issue.
Yeah. I think most will be fine, but... Yeah. Now then, Muller's pointing out as well in the chat room, and Doc has pointed it out, that Land Rover and Jaguar both make cars around here, and they make a lot of cars around here, and they are massively into production. There is manufacturing in Birmingham, there is mass manufacturing in Birmingham, but I guess I was thinking of smaller stuff, but certainly there's no tech stuff as far as I'm aware. Right, do you want to know something really cool? This is awesome. Mm-hmm. This is really awesome. I got this through the post the other day. It's a box, brown box, yep, that came from Canada, and it's from a chap, Mark, who's called Calgary Guru, at Calgary Guru on Twitter, and he said he wanted me to have the original OS for my Mac SE. You remember the Mac SE? I've got the prototype. And I wanted to put I've got 7 discs that Les gave me, and they work, but I want to put the original OS on it. In December, he sent this to me, and it's come by a snail mail, because otherwise it was going to cost stupid amounts. But it's come all the way from Alberta, Canada. Thank you, Mark. And in there is OS 2 there in a little folder, original discs. And he's given me a few extra programs I can use.
Wow.
There is loads in there. Wow. There's the original Microsoft Excel, which should run on it. Symantec Utilities for Macintosh. Fontastic Plus is in there as well. And
if the discs still work, hopefully.
If the what?
If the discs still read.
They should be okay, I think. Lightspeed Pascal, which I think was the French version of Buzz Lightyear.
I don't want to crush your excitement, but I have an old Apple IIgs that I finally brought home, and about half the discs work and about half don't.
Right, those definitely work, the OS 2 discs, because he's made them for me. They definitely work, good. So that won't be a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But it won't matter to me whether it works or not particularly, because what I'm going to do, and I've already done it, next Friday...
I'm sure you've encountered this bit rot thing, right?
Well, hang on a second. Next Friday at 11 o'clock, I've got a Genius Bar appointment at Touchwood. And I've told him I'm bringing in to have my OS reinstalled. So I'm going to take the computer in and I'm going to see what happens. And Jake's going to try and get the day off, and he's going to video it on the iPhone for me.
Awesome.
So I'll be able to come back hopefully in time to do the Mac show. It should have installed by then. I can do the Mac show and I can show you the video what actually happened. Will Apple stand up and fix the machine that is 30 years old, 1987, isn't it? Yeah, 87.
It depends on the genius you get, but I'll definitely say they most likely will tell you that it's deprecated, but somebody will be old school and cool and they'll want to help you. So it just really depends on who you get. I hope you get the proper chap.
Yeah, I think I will get the chap, because I think that the guy that I know that's there is proper old school and he'll know. But I'm going to show you the video.
The kids will be like floored, though.
Steve, are you coming on next week's show already?
What day? Friday?
Friday. Just to see that video.
I think so.
Righto. There we go. I shall show the video. That will be huge fun. Next Friday, dial in and see whether Apple stood up to the plate or not. There we go. If they do, I'm never going to say another bad word about Apple. The Apple Watch, right? iPhone Watch, Jesus. The Apple Watch has dominated holiday sales. 5.2 million were sold, allegedly. Yeah. I don't know what the one on the right's supposed to be. It's a Samsung, I think. Q4 2016, 11.6 million units for Q4 2015 and Q4 2016 combined. Massive. I haven't got mine because mine got stolen, as you know. But I can only claim mine off the insurance if I buy another one. So I might end up with buying an Apple Watch and not a Withings in the end, because it's the only way I can get the money back. So on the house insurance. I don't know how much I trust these statistics, though. That's the only thing, because they never put statistical deviations in there about how accurate they think they are when they're estimated. And Apple don't release these figures, do they?
Nope. Yeah, I think it's based on average selling price, and then taking a look at what they think the percentage of Apple Watches are in that other devices category. So. I'd love to see how they actually do generate those numbers. Probably a lot of slack in there.
Yeah, the deviation on that's going to be massive.
Tim Cook said in the call, I mean, obviously he didn't give numbers, but that it was huge or something like that. I forget what the direct quote was.
Yeah.
Now he used that word.
More than we expected.
More than we expected.
They were definitely in a supply constraint, at least until... I think they said early January, so yeah, they were selling a heck of a lot of them.
Yeah.
I see a lot of them. I mean, you know, the ancillary evidence is I see a ton of them in the wild on a lot of people. And I don't see that many. Occasionally I'll see a Samsung. Trying to think of, and then other than that, it's, you know, Fitbits and Withings. And
I've seen loads more since mine was nicked. Especially at the gym where I lost it. Bastards.
No, that's that ambient awareness thing cracks me up every time, and I never get over it, even though I know it's just a switch in your cognitive bias. But, you know, like if you say, hey, I'm going to go out and I think I'm going to pick up a red Land Rover, and all of a sudden you'll see nothing but red Land Rovers where you may not have seen them before. That how your mind works like that blows my mind. Like, it's so incredible to me.
Bronwyn is putting in the chat room, I'm missing the most important question. Will the Mac run Crysis? Probably not.
I don't know if it's related directly to Apple Watch, but the other big number from the results call that impressed me was Apple Pay transactions. They said we're up 500% year over year.
That doesn't surprise me, though. It doesn't surprise me that they're up. 500% is massive, but Apple Pay, everyone's loving Apple Pay. I think I'm the only person left that doesn't use Apple Pay now.
Oh, no, me too.
You don't use it either, Jake. That's good. That's cool. It's not just me, then.
It's finally showing up occasionally for me with vending machines and at the gas pump, which is kind of a real game changer.
What's the limit on Apple Pay purchases in the States?
It's kind of set by, it's almost feels like it's set sort of by the retailer. Like, I think, like Whole Foods, once you're over $100, I think they make you do the stupid signing thing. You know, it's like retailer by retailer.
Right.
So,
ours is 30 it varies. Quid. So you'd never get a tank of gas on it because it's 30 quid, so.
Well, and you can't get the gas thing I did. I got a full fill up, and that was over 50 bucks, 50, 60 bucks.
Yeah. So a full tank of fuel for me is 60 quid. So
yeah. I'm going
to get that. And full tank of fuel for me is free.
Oh, right. Okay.
So they won't. So you can't even do that kind of purchase on an Apple Pay over there, Ewan?
There's a £30 limit on all, and this is applied by the banks, I guess. There's a £30 limit on all contactless payments. Yeah, it was about a year ago. It got updated from 20 quid to 30 quid, and I use contactless.
You know what that means? That means that the banks don't fully understand how this works, because if they did, it would be kind of the other way around, especially with Apple Pay. Like, Apple Pay is the least likely to get jacked versus the old school, you know, chip and swipe kind of payments. Like, those are easier to hack. Like, the secure enclave and not passing actual numbers and all of that is so much better in Apple Pay. I'm surprised that the bank guys can't wrap their head around it.
The gas pump is where I really want it, because that's where they're, you know, thieves are putting the swipers, the, you know, scammers.
I think the banks don't understand that the Apple Watch, particularly something that requires identification, you know, and if it comes off your wrist, no one else can use it until the code's been put back in. But Hobbs is saying if you go to BP garages, you can have unlimited, which I hadn't realised. So if BP will do unlimited on that, that sounds pretty cool. But the other problem you got with me is Barclays Business won't let you put your card in. So you can't use it anyway on Apple Pay, which is why I'm not on it. So it's done. When ResEdit came first onto the Mac, I loved that application, says Bronwyn.
ResEdit was awesome.
Oh, God, I love ResEdit.
Let's see. I'm looking at Wikipedia. And
before the nostalgia swamps us, Apple is developing ARM-based Mac chips to handle the low-power function stuff alongside the Intel processors so they can make it even thinner than before, I'm sure. From what I understand, if they're tucking Kaby Lake into then they shouldn't have any problems with power anymore. All they're doing is fighting against the form factor question that people aren't that bothered about anymore. It's not driving sales.
Well, now we know how they're going to get to voice first screenless interfaces. They're just going to keep making it thinner and thinner until it disappears.
I can't see that anyone's bought a Mac for the last 4 years based on size. They buy it because it's Mac, and they buy it because of what it can do and features. And
I think weight is more probably a thing than for a lot of people than size, when especially when it comes to a laptop. So if they can make it lighter, you know, and I guess removing thickness may be a way to get it lighter, and especially removing, getting it more power efficient, and thinness could just be a side benefit of that. You know, right. I think it's maybe more about, we always talk about thinness, but I think in a lot of ways it's about weight.
Yeah, but then you know, you're everybody wants a like 1 pound laptop that does dongles.
Everything. It's true. Steve is right. You get rid of the weight in the actual machine, and then it's all about carrying around the Dingledorfs like they're everywhere.
Yep. Yeah, no. I was supposed to do a presentation on my laptop, and I need to find the VGA converter to Thunderbolt or to Mini DisplayPort.
All I know is anytime I see one of those new Touch Bar Macs, they're beautiful machines. Same thing with the MacBooks. I mean, they're just great looking machines.
They are great, and I like
the keyboard. You pick them up, and the build quality is excellent. You know, it's all the things you love from Apple.
Mm.
So, you know, the guts on the inside, we can argue all day, but there's a lot of people doing a lot of great things with those machines. They're pricey, but Apples are always pricey. So,
there's a big chat going on in the chat room. Hobbs is saying that he spent over £200 in Marks and Spencer's with an Apple Pay transaction, a single one. And he said Apple Pay is different from other contactless. Where the Apple Pay symbol is displayed, the limit doesn't apply. But I'm not sure if that's true. Because
that's not true.
Because Muller's putting down he's been to John Lewis and he got nowhere trying to spend more than £30. So,
well, maybe over there it's the same way. Like, the banks are on board. It's sort of the retailers. And here it's really the retailers that kind of set the rules. Right. The banks are willing to let them sort of
do
what they want.
I thought it was the banks, most definitely, because my card wouldn't register, so.
And that's, in my opinion, this is the area where Apple has had the most trouble, is getting retailer adoption, especially here in the U.S., and retailer, like, buy-in, and, like, you should never have to sign or pin in for any amount with Apple Pay, in my opinion, but different retailers have different rules, and it really sucks when you go somewhere and you're doing an Apple Pay, and it's like, oh, you got to sign. It's like, are you kidding me?
Like, yep. I have that happen all the time, and I just laugh. No, I'm like, that sort of defeats the purpose, yo.
And no one looks at the signature anyway. I mean, even on your swipe or chip cards, you know, we have the stupid chip and sign, which is the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah. You know?
Target, that's Target. And Target, you do the Apple Pay, but it's still five other questions before you leave. And I'm like, yo, the whole purpose of Apple Pay was a ding and doink and get the hell out of there. You know, and Target was first. So they have no excuse. They were Apple Pay on day freaking one.
They should have been better, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Ewan, I was going to tell you a funny story. I had a buddy of mine who recently got the right before Touch Bar, like MacBook Pro. It was maybe like 2 or 3 months before the Touch Bar came out. And he's in a job where he does training, so he's always going around from business to business to business and, you know, having to do these presentations. And he got so pissed off at always going somewhere, and you have these, he's in finances, right? So these businesses are high dollar businesses, right? And they all got like these ancient projectors with VGA and whatnot. He finally gave up and bought, I believe it was either Optima or Epson projector. I think it was like $700. And he was like, this projector, bringing my own projector was better than chasing dongles all the time or irritating people who say, well, the dongle was here and then somebody stole it. Like, he would get there and not be able to do his, you know, his whole stick. So I think people who do that roadshow stuff end up buying their own projectors, because I just did a quick peek at Amazon. And as long as you're just in like the basic 1080 range, they're only like $150-$200 now. It's pretty crazy. I didn't know they were that cheap.
Yeah, the price has really dropped on those. Unfortunately, the bulbs that you have to put in a lot of those damned projectors are more expensive.
Than a projector?
When you have to replace it, it's more expensive than the actual thing was in the first place. You could actually go out and buy a new projector cheaper.
That's crazy. I can't believe that. 3,500 lumen projectors and whatnot are like ranging in the $400 range.
Yeah.
With HDMI and short throw, which means that you don't have to put it at the back of the room anymore.
No, you put it at the wall almost, or on the ceiling with the keystoning. You can get it short throw with keystoning, and it's just like unbelievable.
That's crazy.
I fitted some boards in a room a few weeks ago. And they got a system in there that was like it was like a minority report type thing where you could manipulate stuff, and there was sensors on the ceiling. So if you had the wand in your hand, you could move stuff around using your hand on the screens.
Shut up!
And the projector that they had, I kid you not, this projector was 3 feet from the wall, and with the keystone, it filled the wall, and it was a full 8 foot high wall.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. Wow. Christ knows how much it cost. I mean, the actual projector was a meaty old projector. It took a lot of space up, but it was a fantastic throw on the wall. It was unbelievable. And it was crystal clear. It was gorgeous. You didn't have to have the light off or anything.
My buddy Topher works for Sony, and he just recently demoed me Sony's short throw projector. And it cost like $30,000, but this thing can produce gorgeous image in broad freaking daylight. It's designed for doing outdoor festivals where you need to project something in the sun. And what they were using was this inflatable projector screen. And this thing is literally about 3 feet from the projector screen. But in broad daylight, it's kicking out like 10 or 20,000 lumens or whatever the heck it was. Yeah. That the picture was just absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. And I was like, honestly, if I had the money, I'd probably buy one and just rent it out, because there's always, you know, carnivals and festivals and various, you know, activities here. Like, we do something called Sunset on the Beach, where they show, that'd be good for you and the wife when you come, Steve, on Friday and Saturday nights, they show movies like The Drive-In, but it's on the beach in Waikiki. Nice.
Oh, nice.
So you have food, and as soon as the sun goes down all the way, you know, the band plays that little interstitial between Golden Hour, which is about 45 minutes, and then once it gets dark, they pop up the movie, and they show all kind of great movies and stuff. So you just sit out there and you know, eat on a blanket. Now, technically, drinking is illegal on the beach, but it's amazing how much beers get dug up from underneath right when the sun goes down.
When they're looking for clams.
Yeah, and even hiding in the sand. Pretty funny.
Excellent. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. Thanks to them, much to them for their support and kindness over the years. We're going to be with them for an awful lot longer. Please continue to show your support for them as well, because they make a massive difference to us. If they weren't here supporting us, the amount of money we'd have to spend just to stay online means that we wouldn't do BTN. All of those people that listen to it, they've all got, you get the show because the bandwidth's unlimited. The speed on the servers that we get is unlimited, thanks to UK2. They do everything for us, and we'd be lost without them. So please, please, please let them know you appreciate it. Send out a tweet saying thanks for supporting BTN, or send some kind of message to them, or just buy their service through the BTN contact page, because that would be absolutely superb if you could. And thanks to Hoyer as well. I'm getting more and more excited. There's been a bit of a delay apparently because the CE marking of the scanning machine, so it's not going to happen this month, but Unico is on the way. If you do want some glasses like the ones that I've got, then go to podcast@hoyer.co.uk and Mark will arrange for whoever your local rep is to be there. You will get the personalised service from Hoyer, and you will be over and above even all the other Hoyer customers because you're a BTN listener. You get special treatment here, people. Make sure you use it. It's well worth it. Right, time for the cool thing. Doc, start us off.
All right, so unfortunately, this is going to require you to have a Creative Cloud account, but you can play with the trial for free for, I think it's like 30 or 40 days. Adobe released a project known as Project Felix, and this thing is absolutely incredible. Let me pop the link into your textual right here. Sorry, give me a second. Anyway, there it is. So Project Felix is a 3D design program a la Maxon Cinema 4D that doesn't require you to know all of that stuff. Now, I happen to love 3D. I used to be a 3D artist and played with Silicon Graphics Machine and a software known as Wavefront. And this is mind-blowingly easy in comparison to what I used to have to do for a living. This is so cool. It comes with a huge library of objects. It comes with a huge library of materials. And you can even take a photo, say, in your backyard and say, I want to not only use this as the background, but I want to use it as the light and refraction map. And what that means is if I were creating a 3D model of this, a stainless steel coffee cup here, and I was to take a picture of Ewan's backyard with the green egg pizza oven and whatever in it, you would actually see the reflection of that in this coffee mug as a 3D model, because I'm using that sort of as my displacement and my shadow map. So looking at the guitar image that you see there, you see there's specular highlights on the rim of the guitar, and towards where the fretboard ends and the volume and control knobs and whatnot are. That's a direct reflection of what you decide to use as either the light image or the foreground image. And just by looking at this, I can tell they use what's called the three light, which they do. It comes in anyway. Even if you don't have Adobe thing, just play with it. It's incredible. Ewan, if you look down on the page a little bit, right under where it says set the scene with Adobe stock, you can kind of see what I mean by the various light options that they give you. And just, it shows
just
like
keep talking,
how
Doc, and I'll get that picture up.
Yeah, it sort of shows how you can grab things and put them in. And there's really cool stuff in here too. So like if you're an app developer and you want to show off sort of what your phone would look like, I mean, what your program would look like in a phone, there's actually 3D models of the phone. And then you can use that to use a displacement map, say, which is a screenshot of your app, put it there, and then put the phone in real time. So what's really cool is when you look at the demo videos and stuff and see sort of the things that it can do, it is absolutely amazing. The craziest part about this is if this was a standalone app, it's easily $4,000 or $5,000 app. And it's basically now free if you are part of the Creative Cloud community.
So hang on, I've got photo. I've got the photo membership for Creative Cloud. I get this free.
You might be able to, because I know that they're trying to drag, you know, more people in. So they've been, even the guys that have single apps, they've been adding like features and to the single app guys to try to get them to convert over to the real deal. And you know, when it first switched over, a lot of people were kicking and screaming, and as were I. But all I did was I changed my price by like 10% and just, you know, basically bill it to the clients. And literally two clients a month covers my costs. And so I went full bore, and I'm actually so glad I did, because it constantly updates. It's really, really fast. They're never behind. You get access to so much stuff, and all of the online training, the weekly online training and live stuff that they do on YouTube, where you just kind of have it running in the background while you're doing work. You learn the craziest and most incredible things about, you know, Adobe apps without even trying. And that also said, the mobile apps are insane right now. You can do so much stuff with Photoshop Mix and Photoshop Fix. Like, I could do things that used to take me hours on a computer. You can literally do it in 3-4 minutes on your phone with just your finger, not even a stylus. Like, it's crazy.
So they've just come such a long way. I've just gone to it to try and see if I can get it. And instead of when I signed in, instead of showing the choose a price plan, it just said download. So I don't think
there you go.
I think I might get it free, but I can't download it now because I've got zero bandwidth. Thank you, Virgin Media, you bastards. cool, wait, great.
You'll have
great.
Fun playing with it, dude.
Thank you, mate. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got a great one for old school Dungeons and Dragons nerds like myself. There is an awesome game for iPad and iPhone. It's also available, I think, on Steam for Mac and all that stuff, called The Guild of Dungeoneering. And it is a turn-based dungeon crawling style
Dungeon
app.
Dragon-y.
Yeah, but the visual look of the whole thing is amazing because it's like hand-drawn on graph paper. And the twist on it is, you know, typically you'd be controlling the adventurers, but in this one, you're sort of playing the dungeon master and building the levels and dungeons around the player as they're going through the thing. So you get a set of cards in each sort of adventure, and they're randomized, and you put those down, and you're going to get different kinds of attack cards or treasure cards or monster cards, and you have to sort of build out the dungeon for each level that the player has to go through. And it has an amazing original like soundtrack on it. And then like the home screen, which is called the Guild, is where you get additional characters. So as your characters die and stuff like that, you'll have to build like a, you know, a tavern to get new players to come in. When a player dies, they add a graveyard, and you get to place all this stuff on the map. So you're sort of building that old school hand-drawn dungeon map around the game. And it's got a really kind of unique and innovative sort of battle system. And it's just a heck of a lot of fun. And it's like $5. And then they're starting to add expansions. So I think they have a new expansion called Pirate's Cove. And there's one, this one, Ice Cream Headaches, is out, I think, for the desktop. Hopefully it'll make its way to the iOS version at some point. But so fun. And again, the soundtrack kind of puts it over the top. These great folk, you know, original folk songs that go along with the adventure. So,
excellent. Good one. I might give that a go. That looks good. Steve, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I'm going to do a little bit of hardware here, and I think this is one of the coolest little devices I've gotten in the last couple of years. This is the Hover camera, and you've probably seen some videos of this little device, but it's actually a small photographic drone. They actually use the term flying camera instead of drone because it's really meant to be more of a photography tool than it really is a drone, like something you'd see from DJI. A couple of months ago, well, it was more than a couple of months ago, probably October, they had a tremendous deal on this, and I was able to get it at about half the price of what you currently can buy them for. But let me grab this thing here. I'm not going to fly it in here because, seriously, you wouldn't be able to hear me talk. It sounds like a small Dyson vacuum making noise when you're actually flying it. But this is the Hover camera, kind of about the same size and shape as a old VHS video cassette. You slide a battery in here. You turn it on. You pop the wings out. And when you are ready to get it flying, you basically just hit a button that's on top of there. You can hear the motors spin up. And when they spin to high speed, you just let go, and it literally just hovers there.
Yeah.
Then you can do really cool things like have it, you know, track you as you're walking. It does 4K video. It does 13 megapixel photos. Absolutely one of the best little tech toys I've seen in a long time. And they just keep improving it, too. It seems like there's a firmware update maybe once a month that adds some new functionality to it. So highly recommended. Very, very cool.
Wow. So
I like the fact it does orbit. That's insane.
Yes.
Is there a handheld thing that you've got, like to tell you it's you? Do you have to carry a dongle around that?
No, basically what you do is it's limited somewhat to the range of Wi-Fi. You're actually setting up a small little Wi-Fi network from the app on your iPhone.
Ah, right, okay. So
what it does, the app will show you a picture of yourself or whatever it is that you want to follow, and you literally just tap on it. And it uses, you know, some sort of face recognition or human recognition to track that particular item. It does a really good job of it.
Right. Okay. So I kickstarted the Lily, they went tits up. But apparently, I'm getting my money back. So when I get my £600 back for the Lily, I'll be buying this. Because that's what the Lily was supposed to do.
I didn't hear that Lily died. That's crazy.
Oh, Lily's gone.
Yeah.
Lily's gone about 6 weeks ago. And they allegedly, 4 weeks ago, allegedly they're going to refund everyone the $34 million that they got in what's it? So I should be getting my money back. We shall see.
It's sad when that happens because it kind of takes people off of the Kickstarter thing. And yeah. Anymore, I look at Kickstarter, and normally I was a beast. Like, I was super bad. Actually, Steve, too, because I think between Steve, myself, and Ross Rubin, we used to always be buying crap from Kickstarter. That Ross even started his own site based off of Kickstarter But I think now the stuff that I see is just either absolute rubbish or established companies pre-selling stuff that they want to make that they don't want to spend their own money making.
They've got to stop that because I know they're getting money from it, so they're never going to stop it. But if you establish your company, that's not what a Kickstarter was about.
Shit. Exactly.
Great pick, Steve. Great pick. Love that. My cool thing, I haven't got it yet. It just looks cool. But I've watched the video for it, and I can't believe that it's not doing what it says it's going to do, is the Camera. It's K-A-M-E-R-E-R-A. And basically, it's a case that's for your iPhone 7 Plus, and on the back there's a frame, and there's two sets of lenses that you can slide into it, and they slide up and down. So you can slide them out of the way or put them in. They do zoom lens, macro lens, fisheye lens. There's two little lenses that you get that you shove in front, and they interact with the twin lenses that are already there on your 7 Plus. And the effects are incredible. And I've watched the video on it, and the video is done in fairly in real time, I would suggest. So you see the guy slide this thing in, turn it over, and take a picture of the coin. And the actual picture of the coin that it takes is unbelievably detailed. And he zooms in, and because of course you've got the optical zoom with the 7 Plus, when this lens is on the front, you can still use the optical zoom up to 2x as well anyway. So you can get in with macro, and then you can go even further. And if you want to go to digital, you can go up to 10x with the zoom on the phone. It looks amazing. So you get the case that protects your phone, just like a normal case would, and you get these two sets of lenses that zip on the front so that you can take great pictures. How much?
$45 on Amazon.
Oh, you bastard.
I already bought it while you were talking.
$45 on Amazon, but not on Amazon in the US, in the UK, unfortunately. So I've had to buy it from China, so it's on the way, and I've had to pay $15 shipping, so it's $60 for me. But there you go. If I go on Amazon now and find it's in there, I'm going to spit blood. Because I saw it, and it was done like, no, it's not in there. It's all right. Oh, that was close. But the Camera do loads and loads of other stuff that fits in with your camera stuff, so that's good for loads of things, magic arms and that kind of stuff. So, but I have ordered it, and it is $45, and it should be here in the next week. It's stunning. If that works the way it says it does, then I'm over the moon. Thank you, chaps. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK and over here on the network on the Mac Show. And one of these days, I like to free my schedule back up to go back to Big Show because I miss arguing with PC people.
Yeah, do it. Come on. I mean, anytime you want to come on, mate. We're always
short. I've just been busy.
We're nearly always short for one seat. It's at 8 o'clock, so it's in 3 hours' time. So if you're free in 3 hours' time, dial in, mate. Have some fun with us. No problem at all. All non-Apple stuff discussed on the Big Show. Where are you, Adam?
You can find me, as always, at maccast.com or just search for MacCast on iTunes. And I'm MacCast on all the social medias. And you can check out the iOS show at theiosshow.com as well.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, do you guys know about the Fantasy Photo League?
What the hang is that?
The BTN, the British Tech Network Fantasy Photo League. So, the photo show is back. For those of you that don't know, the photo show is back on the network. Me and Ian Lewis are doing the doc every week that we can. And then I'm making a show when I possibly can. And I've missed for about 3 weeks now. But we are back online and we are going to do one next Friday. And we've done one today. We've done that. And then the photo room, the photo showroom on the Slack channel, I suggested, why don't we do a fantasy photo league? So basically, that's it. So every month, you will get an assignment given to you to pick. This month, January just gone, was lines. So everyone had to pick the lines. Any photo that they want that fulfilled the brief of lines, and they submitted it, and they all sent it in. There's voting between the people that are entered, so everybody gets 3 votes, so they can vote up other people's images. Then I'll do a score out of 20. Hannah Cousins, who's a great photographer, who did the lighting advent calendar up to Christmas, has agreed to do 20, score out of 20 as well, and do a little piece back. So me and Hannah will give you feedback on your image so you can hopefully improve as well. And you get to learn from other people and have a competing and good fun time. All of the things were picked by the people who were in the photo show Slack room, so they're all set for the year now. The February topic is self, S-E-L-F, but you're not allowed to show pictures of yourself. You're not allowed to show pictures that would give away your location so we know who you are. It has to be a completely anonymous photo contest. So you can't show anything that indicates who you are. And Ian Lewis, who is also an extremely talented landscape photographer, is banned from taking landscape images. So he's got one arm tied behind his back as well. So there you go. You have to take a picture that will not identify who you are, but every month, at the end of the month, is the closing date. If you sent an image through for your topic, then you can take part. So there you go. That's the Fantasy Photo League. If you want to join it, send your entries or send me an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, and I will tell you what you need to do. But it's essentially nothing more than take a picture of something that fulfills the topic self and send it through this month, and you'll be entered into the competition. There you go. And there is a DSLR at the end of it for the winner.
Wow.
There we go.
Where are these being submitted?
Send them to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, and you can win a DSLR. So now you think, oh, well, I can't win now because I've missed January. Yes, you can, because the more people that come on, the more votes there are to get points from. So by the end of the year, you could be talking like 1,000 points available for people.
I mean, where are the photos, I guess is what I'm asking.
We'll send them back. So everyone sends them to me, and then I send them out on a PDF, and then you send me the votes for the ones that you see. Then Hannah and I will give you some feedback on each one about why we scored it the way we did. And then, so you'll learn from that. And then your points will go into a league table, and each month we'll tell you what the league table scores are. But we won't tell you who shot the images. So you won't get to learn whose style is what. You won't get to know who shot what or anything. It's completely anonymous.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's no strategic voting or anything like that, because there'll be a different order every month. You won't know which one's which. So there you go. Fantasy Photo League. Send your images in. britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. February's brief is self. S-E-L-F. Everyone's welcome to join. Enjoy. Steve, where can we get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me on Apple World Today. That's appleworld.today or appleworldtoday.com. I'm also on Twitter as @StephenSandy.
Muller's just asked a question in the chat room. He said, can I use a picture of Will self? Yes, he can, but he has to take it, and he has to take it in the given month. So if by some strange reason Will self doesn't start running a mile as soon as Miller walks toward him, he could take a picture of Will self and enter it in the competition. That would be fine. Absolutely no problem at all. Yeah, you can find it. Well, Muller the stalker. There we go. There we go. Right. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next Friday. Live show's on Friday. Friday afternoon. Oh, yes. That's what we need. We'll be beer involved, I think, next Friday. So that's Friday at 4 p.m. UK time, which is God knows what time in Hawaii, 8 a.m. in Pacific areas of America.
It should be 12 or 11 hour flip.
Right. Okay.
So always. Pretty depending damn, on your daylight. Pretty damn early.
And Doc's going to be coming back on the big show as well. Big show's in 3 hours' time, 8 o'clock. We'll be here, so we'll enjoy it. See you all next week. Thanks for listening.